Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio is South Dakota School of Mines and Technology Adjunct Professor Dr. Cheryl Chapman. Thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here to talk about our program.
So you are giving a STEAM Cafe talk on the EPICS program at Mines. So let's start there and talk a little bit about what the EPICS program is.
Yes. It's an acronym, actually, that stands for Engineering Projects and Community Service. And it's a chance in which students can work with community partners to help them with various technical or engineering challenges they might have.
Talk about what that looks like. What are some of these challenges?
It's a variety of projects with different community partners. Some of our partners include the City of Rapid City or a neighboring tribe or even a nonprofit organization. And over the years, the university has built relationships with these partners and have worked together to identify challenges they might have in either building a greenhouse or structural issues or plans to build emergency management facilities and look at opportunities for students to jump in and help solve those problems.
And so it's mostly for engineering students, yes?
Yes. And we have students both from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology and Oglala Lakota College.
All working together or separately on projects?
All working together. In our last semester, we had over 60 students sign up for this, representing 14 different disciplines and the Oglala Lakota College. And they range from freshmen to seniors. And we usually find that a mix of students to create interdisciplinary teams work very well in addressing complex problems.
So when you give a group of students a problem, what then are the parameters for them to follow in finding a solution?
Excellent question. And I might actually preface it by talking a little bit about what it means to be an engineer. Our students, upon graduating, oftentimes will find employment working under other professional engineers for 4 years of experience. They also have to take a series of exams before becoming a professional engineer. But in becoming a professional engineer, you really make a commitment to society to protect and improve the public welfare through your engineering expertise and talents, whether it's building roads or bridges or buildings or protecting the environment. And so putting service first really is at the heart of what it means to be an engineer. And so then going to an EPICS class or a program really is an important first step. And how we address these challenges on a given project is create teams of these students. The teams also will be assigned an advisor. Those advisors are really volunteers in our community of either professors or other professionals in our community, depending on what the project is. And then, of course, our community partner. And we meet all together to fully understand the challenges ahead. And then the real learning comes for the students when they get to work together in a collaborative manner to fully understand the problem and work together on the best solutions.
I'm picturing a whole lot of arguing going on in the room.
Animated debate, for sure.
Okay, animated debate. I'll give you that. Okay.
Well, and it helps students understand there's just not one solution for every problem, but a number of them, and how to weigh benefits of various ways of approaching those problems.
And so you really have to twist the cube and look at all sides and what impact one decision may have, and how that would, if it would cause a ripple effect of some kind as well?
Absolutely. And to fully appreciate all of those impacts of different project decisions. But also, it helps our students understand that they need to work together with those community partners. What might be the best solution from their viewpoint may not work so well for that community partner. And so talking with them, understanding their goals for a project is a critical part of that learning process.
And this program has been in place how long?
A little over 3 years.
Okay.
And it has grown, and we're excited about its direction.
So talk me through a finished project, perhaps, that has already taken place.
Yes. There have been different projects over the years, and one of the ways to think about these projects is that they're not necessarily a semester in length. In fact, as we build that relationship with our community partners, they understand that they will be working with teams that will be, having students graduate and drop off and getting new students along the way to help work on their projects. One of the projects that we have been working on for a few semesters now is an emergency management facility for the Oglala Sioux tribe. This has happened in large part also because of grant funding through the USDA Rural Development Program. And so the students have worked to first identify the need for emergency management facilities. For example, the tribe does not have structural fire protection on the reservation. And so the first semester, the students did an analysis with geographic information systems to find out response times for emergency calls. This helped then lead to a second semester effort to identify good locations for new facilities. And so the process continues with upcoming designs and that sort of thing for those emergency facilities.
So this is, this will go on for quite some time.
It could go on for maybe 3 or 4 semesters, mm-hmm. depending on the length of the project and the scope overall.
So is this... is this something then that you incorporate outside professionals as well in working on the project? I mean, obviously you're going to have to hire an architect, yes?
There are professionals involved as advisors and supporters of the teams. And you're right that the projects can go so far, and then the community partner may need to find another professional to finish up perhaps construction drawings or other aspects of a project to finalize it. But the work that the students have done really take those efforts a long way down the road to having a successful project.
And is this a more cost-effective way for some of your community partners to solve some problems?
That is exactly where kind of the win-win of the EPICS program comes into play, because not only are the students gaining this valuable experience, but the community is also receiving some excellent professional services, if you will, in order to help them. And that preliminary work that is done on many of these projects will save the community partner some funding along the way.
And you said that it has grown over the last 3 years. And how much room for growth do you really have? Do you have students who are just waiting for a project?
We hope to continue to grow the program. And we believe we have a system by having advisors for our teams and these relationships with our community partners that allows us to accommodate any student who wishes to sign up for the class. They do receive one credit hour, and in many cases, we have seen our students put in much more time and effort than would normally be required for one credit hour class.
Well, it's that hands-on, real problem-solving that is so attractive to the students, yes?
Yes, and oftentimes, many of the classes in design or engineering principles are kind of a step-by-step on how do you design a roof system or a road base, that sort of thing. This program really requires the students to take leadership and think through approaches in a logical and a manner in which to get to a final design. And so you don't open up the book and go through step 1 through 8 in order to do that. So the students really start with a blank sheet of paper and learn how to develop that program and the methodology they need in order to finish the project. And the growth that we see in a student from the beginning of the semester to the end is really quite remarkable.
And in the example that you gave about the emergency management facility on the reservation, I mean, first, they didn't just say, we have to build a building. I mean, they really had to dive in and understand the problem and have the data behind it.
Yes. And they would have to go out and find out how many emergency calls there were on the reservation. Where did they come from? What time of the day, the week, the month, or even the year did those emergency calls come into? And so then through manipulating and managing that data and putting it in a format to map out what they call their heat maps of where the most activity is and thus where the greatest need is, they were able to begin to work collaboratively with the fire department to understand how to proceed then and what projects were most important.
And sometimes more questions arise than answers?
Always, because part of that learning process is making mistakes and learning from those mistakes and then finding ways in which to redouble the efforts to make even greater progress.
Do you have other examples of projects that students are working on?
Yes, yes. And the variety is so exciting. We have one group who has been working on a project to understand how to reduce school food waste. We have another team who has also been working with senior design students on understanding the sources of pollution in creeks and ways in which to avoid and improve the water quality in those creeks. We have data management teams. When we have community partners come in with literally piles of data, how can we best help them take that data and organize it into a great data management system? Some other projects, too, in working with a nonprofit, our Youth and Family Services, is an aquaponics greenhouse. And so with the assistance of the staff at YFS, our teams have worked over a couple of semesters in finding ways in which to build a greenhouse that will benefit all of the young people that attend YFS. We've also had a chance to work with our new One Heart Center here in Rapid City, looking at a potential greenhouse for the facility. In this particular case, as our student team quickly learned, it's not just a matter of a greenhouse, but for those people who use One Heart, how do we create a facility that's culturally appropriate for those who use that facility? And so learning not just the science and engineering, but the cultural and the context for which these projects are built is a big part of our efforts.
So it's really opening your mind and seeing big picture things. It's not just building a building that will solve your problem.
Right. And I think that that kind of eye-opening, if you will, the leadership, the understanding how collaboration works in a very positive way to get to great project solutions has been a very important part of this program.
And so when people come to see you speak on the 21st of January as part of the Steam Cafe at the Hay Camp Brewing Company, what kind of questions do you want them to bring?
Well, not only will I be there, but we will have our students, some of our students who have been working on these teams as well. We hope that those who are at the event will have a chance to not only learn about the projects that we've been working on and what those outcomes have been, but perhaps it might just turn on a light bulb for somebody about another community partnership that we might want to cultivate for our EPICS program.
All right. Cheryl Chapman, I want to thank you so very much for being on the program today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Cheryl Chapman is an adjunct professor in civil and environmental engineering at South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. She's speaking on January 21st as part of the Steam Cafe at Hay Camp Brewing Company. That event begins at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. And just a note that some of these students taking part in this as well will appear on Where Do We Go From Here on January 22nd at the SDPB Black Hills Studio. That's at noon Mountain Time on January 22nd.